luck is never just luck.
If you think winning is only a matter of chance, think again. We bring you sports gaming strategies and information that changes outcomes.
Keep it here.
And get the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the busters, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. I'm blown away by Joel Quenneville. And it's blowing me. Man, this guy's been in the NHL forever, man. This guy's been in the NHL forever. And, like, to end like this, right? Like, just like that. Like, when did this guy start playing? All right, so in 1978. So he's been in the National Hockey League since 1978 as a player and a coach, man. So 43 years. 43 years, man. And over. For what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for what? Like, what? Like, what was the point? I don't understand the cover-up of all these people all the time. Michigan State was the same thing. What do they say? The cover-up is always worse than the crime. Right? And, like how many people now? Like, the Winnipeg guy will be next. People are going to start to, like, now at least Quenneville did the right thing. And just, he didn't, like, want to be a distraction. He said, I'm out. Like, this is not good. The Winnipeg dude seems to be taking a more defensive and defiant stance here. We'll see if Bettman now steps up, though, because Bettman could. Bettman didn't seem to be very pleased by this, but you know what? You know, it's like we said, it's not like this was a secret. They were pretty defensive about it for the last couple of years. This thing, these lawsuits have been going on forever. All right, so I want to see Wake Forest's schedule. If you guys remember before the year started, I said I like Wake Forest over 6.5. You always know a school is a real school when you punch in a schedule. Like, punch in Alabama schedule. You know it'll pop up. Alabama's football schedule. Punch in, like, go to Princeton. Punch in, like, Princeton schedule. What pops up is, like, their academic schedule. All right, chemistry starts in June 1st. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I just got that with Wake Forest. And, oh, I forgot. Oh, you're a real school. I don't care about your school schedule. I want your football schedule. So it's Duke at Wake Forest. They're going to win. Wake Forest at UNC. That's a big one for them. There's going to be a million points. Last year they played, man, there were a million points scored in that game. They can win that game, though. And their schedule is hard now. Put it this way, though. Wake Forest run the table, they're in. Wake Forest run the table, they're in. Right? Like, they're playing they play Duke. Then it's Wake Forest at UNC, NC State at Wake Forest, Wake Forest at Clemson, and then Wake Forest at Boston College. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on this. Just because it's 150-1. Doesn't take a lot, like, you know what I'm saying? The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. What up? The Mightier 1090 kicking it with a Sports Byline, Sports Smack, the Armed Forces Radio Networks. We're just trying to put together a late night cocktail here. Late night cocktail. And we're coming up with the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. That's right. Wake Forest. I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever even talked about Wake Forest winning a college basketball championship. It's like the first time in 20 years doing this show I've ever, like, said, yeah, we're betting on Wake Forest to win it all. That's right. You heard correct. You're just tuning in. Wake what? In what sport? What? In lacrosse. I think they're good at soccer, Wake Forest. Aren't they good at soccer? Women's soccer. But, Wake Forest guys are 150-1 to win a national championship. Do I think that Wake Forest are going to win a national championship? No, I don't. No, I don't. But at 150-1, man, dude, $10 pays $1,510. Let's just say, let's put $50 on this. $50 pays $7,555 for $50. Let's go 100. I think I'll put 100 on this. Yeah, 100 to win 15,100 on Wake Forest to win the national championship. But the thing is, I'm not saying they're going to win a national championship, but at 150-1, as I stated, I ain't no Gardner, but call me Edward Scissorhands, all right? Because get the hedgers out. At 150-1, listen to me. If they run the table, so that's what we're betting here. So you're basically betting, all right, they got to run the table here for the rest of the season, because if they lose, they're not going to get in. But if they run the table, they will get in. It's a guarantee. Jay Palm last night, we talked about it. He said, oh, yeah, they'll get in. If they don't lose a game, they are in. Right? So if Wake Forest gets in, you've got them at 150-1. For $15,000 for $100, we'll smash the hell out of, like, Ohio State or whoever they're going to play and who are going to kill them, right? Like, Wake Forest will get smoked in the playoffs. But they're only a couple of wins away here. Their schedule isn't easy, though. Like, Duke at Wake Forest, they'll win. They'll win that game. Wake Forest at UNC is going to be a crazy track meet shootout toss-up. NC State at Wake Forest is going to be a tough-ass game for them. Wake Forest at Clemson won't be easy. And then Wake Forest at Boston College in the snow on November 27th won't be easy either. But give it to me. 150-1, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager? Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Shout out to DJ Robbie Robs. Who actually sent the link. I was talking about the bullpen arrest and all that. He just sent me the link to the story. Thanks, RJ. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for participating and paying attention. Great stuff. Yeah, shout out to everybody tuning in to Late Night Hours, whatever affiliate platform, city you are in. We'll talk some Raider football in a couple of minutes, actually. Vinny will join us in about 10 minutes' time. We'll talk some Raider football. And I think it's criminal, actually, that the Raiders are not playing on Halloween. Come on, man. Like, that should be mandatory. Like, the Raiders should be, like, they should. So it's like Thanksgiving. Like, the Lions and stuff. The Lions always play on Thanksgiving. The Raiders should play on Halloween. That should be a rule. So college football right now. So the first rankings come out on Tuesday. So all this poll stuff is irrelevant, but the rankings are not. Right, and I know Teddy always gets mad about those things don't mean anything and stuff. Well, they kind of do, like so, yeah, because the ranking can put you in the playoffs or not. So they are like so. The playoff rankings come out on Tuesday. They come out on Tuesday, and then there's six of them. So this is just the first of six. So people are always going to overreact and panic and flip out right away. But just chill out; everything will fall into place as we go along. Updated numbers right now for the football championship. Georgia are the favorites at plus 115. I think there's value at Alabama right now at plus 250. Ohio State, actually, I think Ohio State are a really dangerous team, too. It pains me as a Michigan fan to say that, but Ohio State are really, really on fire now. Oklahoma are dangerous. Don't be fooled just because they play in close games. So Georgia at plus 115, Alabama plus 250, Ohio State are plus 450. Oklahoma are currently 20-1. Cincinnati Bearcats are 30-1. The Michigan Wolverines are 50-1. Wow. I'm going to have to bet on Michigan at 50-1. Like that, it's another situation where Michigan went out. They're obviously what you think the Big Ten, like Michigan's not going to be there. Like, I wonder though, like, it's too bad Michigan can't get Michigan and Ohio State, you can't get that same status because that's going to be garbage. Like, it's going to piss me off if Michigan has one loss and Ohio State has one loss. But, you know, if we lose to them, we're done and they're not. But that's the way it goes. Michigan have to get past Michigan State. It gets real now for Michigan. They got the game with Sparty. They've got to go to Penn State. And then they host Ohio State. So Michigan are three big games away from getting to the Big Ten championship game undefeated, which would just be super sick and crazy. Like, I guess they would play Iowa. I think that's what it would be. They'd end up playing Iowa, right? It'd be Michigan versus Iowa. God, I'm just nice to dream out loud here. Can you imagine? Michigan versus Iowa with a trip to the national championship playoffs on the line. Let's do it. Listen, man, 50-1. That's a good number for Michigan. Michigan are a good football team. Michigan are not an explosive offensive team, but they're efficient on offense. They have an identity. They can run the ball. They do run the ball successfully, and no one's really stopped it. And they can throw it when they have to. The defense is elite. Michigan's defense is elite. Harbaugh's done a great job with the play calling and Josh Gattis with the play calling, etc. The coaching staff. I didn't really realize in the offseason like how much younger they got, right, as far as the coaching staff was concerned. I believe it's 40 years old. There's no assistant coach that's older than 40 on Michigan. Like, besides, like, you got Harbaugh, who's older. How old's Harbaugh? I think Harbaugh's, what, about 58 or something? I don't think he's 60 yet, is he? How old is Harbaugh? But basically, and that was almost a problem. Like, Michigan, remember, like, Don Brown and stuff? Michigan had, like, good coaches over the years with Harbaugh, but he often, what was the other guy? Matheson. Matheson from Baltimore. They were old dudes. They're always old guys. Like Harbaugh had like, hey, yeah, you remember Madison? Yeah, he was with the Baltimore Ravens. He was good, Madison, but he was older. You know what I mean? Like Harbaugh would bring in, he'd bring in these old sort of like, listen, you're a veteran guy in the NFL. Just come with my staff. Like he had these all-star staffs. But the problem was, Matthias, these guys were good football guys and smart, but the game has changed a little. Those guys were old school guys. You know what I mean? They weren't spread offense guys, so they didn't really... They didn't, like, know how to defend that stuff, it seemed. Like, they would be out of position and stuff, Matthias. Like, they got caught off guard by the modern offense. And Harbaugh's an old-school guy, too. Like, Harbaugh, look, he even looks like Bo Schembechler now. Harbaugh thinks he's Bo Schembechler, right? So, I like it, though, Matthias. You look at like, those old guys couldn't relate to the players, bro. You know what I mean? Like, they would just tell them, do this and do this, but... It was like listening to your grandfather, bro. You need, like, that raw stuff. And, like, Michigan have a bunch of ripped 40-year-old assistants. And you look at the sidelines, Matthias, of a Michigan football game now. They're buzzing around. It looks like Bama and Georgia and stuff. It used to be everyone sitting down and a bunch of old men talking to them and stuff. It's like everyone's fired up. Everyone's standing and buzzing around the sideline because the young coaches, Matthias, are enthusiastic. You know what I mean? They're gung-ho. Like, let's go. Like, the clapping and all that. It's cheesy, but it's instilled this new... The Michigan sideline, their body language, the culture of the team is completely different, bro. These are the same players as last year, Matthias. It's not like we have all these new players. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same players. It's just this new attitude that they have.
I think when you have young coaches, it brings them, you know, it brings it the juice. It gives the players the juice that they need when they don't have it that day. You know what I mean? Some days you're going to fall flat, and it's up to the coaches to give them that juice and to bring them back up. And I think the coaching staff can do that. You know, you bring the juice, baby. Bring the juice. If the energy's not there, you got to find a way to bring it out of them.
Oh, man, I'm getting fired up for this football game. So it's 3.5, 50.5 against Michigan State. I'm not taking this game for granted at all. Like, I know a lot of people, oh, Michigan will win this game and blah, blah. I'm not taking it for granted. Like, this is going to be tough. Sparty, our arch rival, the passion and the hate runs deep. They really hate Michigan. They're undefeated as well. Like, we can't discount them. Like, this is getting real. And, you know, it's what's amazing to me, too, is even me as a diehard Michigan fan, I never really thought about national, like, championship or playoffs, right? Sort of like, I was like, man, let's just worry about Wisconsin. Let's just worry about Nebraska. And right now, let's just worry about Michigan State. But I got to tell you, they beat Michigan State, bro. It's real, real. Like, they beat Michigan State, then it's like, all right, you got to beat Penn State and Penn State, and then you host Ohio State, man. And, like, dear God, like, it's in Michigan. Ohio State are better than Michigan, but I think Michigan could beat them. Like, I think Michigan could play with anybody this year. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Got to beat Spartans first.
Gabe, I expect them to beat Michigan State this week. I think that they're the better football team. I think they have better players. I think Michigan State's playing a great, great year. But at the same time, I do think they'll be overmatched against Michigan. The game that scares me is the one that you just said, on the road against Penn State. It's always those late of the season type games on the road for Michigan that's always derailed them. You know, whenever they've had great teams that might have playoff aspirations. You know, Iowa on the road when they were supposed to beat Iowa. For some reason, I have a bad feeling about that damn Penn State game. It just seems so Michigan-like to lose that game before Ohio State.
I have a bad feeling about all their games every week, like, to be honest. Like, I was worried about the Nebraska game. I was worried about Wisconsin. I worry about every week. I'm worried about this week. Hell, I'm worried about Maryland when they play. Like, I'll be worried about every game that they play. Listen, even if they lose, it's still a success. They got to beat Ohio State. They beat Ohio State, that's just great. But you want to rip Harbaugh when they don't do well. Hey, you better show him some love when he does, and he's doing a great job this year. We talk radio football next. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
1942, Branch Rickey is named president and GM of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
The whole situation in breaking the barrier was done simply because we had a purpose in mind to go out and win.
Rickey ushered in integration into baseball with Negro League players like Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, and Don Newcomb.
And it was just fantastic the way the fans responded and reacted.
For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
You're listening to the home of the winning edge.
We're always here.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So you don't have to mark your calendar or anything. What do you got going on anyway? That's what we thought.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. Winning Edge benefit number 27. Not having to explain to your wife why you lost.
Sweet.
You're listening to the trusted source for gaming odds and more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. Game time decisions.
Your whole basis to your life is supposed to be helping people when they're down. Nah, it's okay. But a mattress salesman's the guy who lets
you. Yeah, the mattress guy was like, no, come to my place. So mattress back, he brought 55 nuns to the game with him last night. It's good luck. You've seen the nuns there? You got to bring the nuns back.
It's game time decisions with Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart, weekdays 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, on the home of the winning edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Ridge. I am Gabe Morenci. We're kicking it on Sirius XM channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's talk Raider football. Vincent Bonsignore steps up and in. And I'll tell you what, I'm not just saying this because Vincent's on our show right now, but the Las Vegas Review-Journal, I think, is the best sports section in America. It is. It always has been. Now everybody talks about gambling and point spreads and all this type of stuff. These guys have been doing it for years. Great coverage, not just of the local teams, but nationally as well. Vincent, welcome to the Rage. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing?
You got it. I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, well, let's talk some Raider football. I see that they settled with Gruden and all that, and you probably thought, oh, these guys called me to talk about Gruden. I'm sick of talking about Gruden. Whatever. Gruden gets paid on the way out, but I got to ask you about it. So, settlement with Gruden on the way out.
Yeah, I mean, that was not going to be any big deal. Those guys are really good friends, Mark Davis and John Gruden, and it was a tough blow for Mark Davis. Imagine being in his shoes. You know, not only is there a professional relationship, but there's a friendship as well. And, you know, three, 4 years ago, Mark Davis selected John Gruden to be the face of his franchise, not just for a couple of years, but for at least a decade, you know, making the move to Las Vegas, establishing themselves as a winning football team. And it was all headed in the right direction, as we see with the record. But, you know, obviously what John Gruden did when those emails came out, you can't condone that, and Mark Davis obviously didn't. But it was still a blow, both personally and professionally. But I was never, you know, under the impression that there was going to be any kind of a difficulty in terms of the buyout and the settlement. All of that was going to get fixed up. Those two guys are good friends.
What's it like with the Raider players? Have they like just completely moved? Have they moved on as much as they can now? Because me personally, and I don't know, you're there, so I don't know personally, but I think I always see Carr after these games, man, and he keeps talking about him. It's like, dude, like, you know, let it go almost. Like, that's the way that I feel that, like, you know, Carr seems to be very upset about it. But as far as the football team, what's that room like? Like, you know, are they divided on it? Like, do they get upset? Like, basically, I guess what I'm saying, my own personal feeling is I see Carr. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. It's like, bro, let it go. And also, I see Gruden the other day. The truth will come out. We know the truth, coach. Like, we already know the truth. I just hate that stuff, right? Yeah. Oh, the truth will come out and all that. We know what the truth is, coach. But I guess my question is, does it upset other people that Carr, like, doesn't let it go and seems so upset? Like, I love him and all this type of stuff. Does it upset anybody?
No, not at all, and that's really not exactly how it's going down at all. I mean, we ask him the questions, and he's always honest about giving, you know, bright, insightful answers. So it's not like, you know, he's wearing it on his sleeve. You know, it's been a story here, so we got to ask about it, and he's good enough to answer it. In terms of, you know, what John said about the truth, I don't know if we've gotten the truth yet. I mean, I know in terms of, you know, his emails, and there's no question, but there's a lot of layers to this thing that the NFL and everyone else is kind of sorting through right now. So,
well, I think the truth could be worse, Vinny. You know what I'm saying? That's my deal. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, for somebody.
Yeah,
We'll see. I think the worst of John Gruden has come out.
That's a good point.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's. I mean, just the manner in which, you know, how this was found and the investigation that it was a part of and all that. There's a lot of different layers to it, and you know, I don't think we're close to getting clarity on that just yet. And so we'll see where all that is headed. In a lot of ways, and there's no question, you have to separate the act from sort of how it you know came about. There's no condoning what John Gruden said. It was terrible, and he needed to go. But, you know, at the same time, there's also an element of why just him and not everybody else and or other people. It just seemed kind of conspicuous how his part of it came out. And I think that's where, you know, as this thing, you know, kind of unfolds and more comes out about it, I think we'll get more clarity down the road.
I think I agree. I can't disagree. So let's talk from a football perspective here, all right? So the odds. The Chargers are plus 100 to win a division. The Chiefs are plus 210 right now. And the Raiders are plus 400. And it sort of fascinates me. Like, the Raiders aren't really not getting a ton of respect here from the odds maker. And I hate to be that guy. I don't like burying teams early in the season, bro. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this team's done and this team sucks after a game. I'm not one of those type of guys. But with that being said, I think the Chiefs do have real problems. Like, I just think it is what it is. They're not this juggernaut anymore. And quite frankly, I don't think they're the best team in the division. So the Raiders at plus 400. Are you buying in? Can the Raiders, like, are they in the mix to win his division? Because the odds makers don't believe so. I think they are. I think the Chargers are a better football team, but you are what your record says you are, man, and the Raiders keep winning football games.
Yeah, you know, it'll all come out in the wash. I think Las Vegas was wrong about the Raiders from the get-go. I think they had them at 6.5 wins, I think, was the over-under, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. How were they only favored by a point last week, Vinny? Yeah, against the Eagles. Come on, no respect again.
Yeah, and here's what I always say, and I know that you know, in talking to players, they're right there on the same line. You want love, go out and earn the love. You know, the Raiders haven't for the last 20 years or so. So you know, you can't just expect the world to embrace you. You got to go out there and prove it. And I think that that's actually kind of a good thing for the Raiders, because you know, just getting to know some of these guys and talking to them, and the determination that they have to change that narrative. it's a driving force with them. So I know in the locker room they could care less about where they're ranked or who's, you know, giving them love or where the what the odds are and all that. They're on a mission to kind of prove it all wrong anyway. So I think that there's no question that they are in the running for the division championship. I'm with you. I think the Kansas City Chiefs have taken a couple of steps backwards. It's hard to maintain that level of play. The NFL and that salary cap is unforgiving. That's a real thing that you have to deal with. And now when they're paying Patrick Mahomes the money that they're paying him, and they're tied up in some other contracts with some players that are kind of getting long in the tooth, you're going to eventually feel the effects of that. So there's a great opportunity for the Chargers. There's a great opportunity for the Raiders. The key now is can the Raiders handle this success that they've had? They haven't been able to the last couple of years, you know, when they've had decent records to start the season. But I think the difference now is they actually have a defense that's playing pretty well, much different than what it's been in the past. And if that defense can continue to play the way they are now, they're going to be in pretty decent shape.
I tell you what, that Raider defensive line, if people are unaware, these guys make plays, man. They crash the pocket implodes. They're making plays. They've been making plays all year long. What are your thoughts on Henry Ruggs? I know, you know, last year wasn't quite the year that they want. Now, it's not like he gets a million catches a game. I'd like to see, you know, the targets and the receptions up a little bit. But he has been making plays. He seems to have a knack for getting open. What's your take on Ruggs and how he's developing?
Yeah, and you know the Raiders have done a really good job with their draft, and this goes back to John Gruden and Mike Mayock. But you know, you look at the weapons that they have on this team: Henry Ruggs, Brian Edwards, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake. You can go a lot of different places with that ball, and I don't think it's really ever going to be a case where you know one guy has just got crazy numbers. Sometimes Darren Waller for sure because he's that good. But as we're seeing defenses really you know kind of lock down on him, and it's just opened things up for everybody else. I think, and that's where a quarterback like Derek Carr comes into play. He's kind of a point guard sort of a quarterback. He gets the ball to the open man and the most favorable matchup. And so you're seeing a lot of just the ball gets spread around. I think 9 different players touched the ball on Sunday against the Eagles. So the key is just be effective when you get the ball. And certainly Henry Ruggs has been that. Brian Edwards, Renfrow, I can go on and on. But he's where they wanted him to be. And they knew when they drafted him last year, there was a learning curve for him in terms of some of the nuances of playing wide receiver, but he's got something that you can't teach. And they felt like once they were able to develop him in terms of some of the other elements as a wide receiver, and then he got a little bit stronger, which he did, that he was going to blossom, and he's certainly done that.
I threw it out there. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, Vinny. We'll get you out of here. The NFL trade deadline is approaching. And, you know, it's not usually a very active one. And the media's all talking about Deshaun and all that stuff. But Allen Robinson. Now, I don't know if the Bears are actually going to do it. I mean, this guy, you know, this poor guy is getting killed in Chicago. It'd be great to see him on another football team. I just think he'd be a great fit with the Raiders. I know the Raiders have a good thing going right now, but you drop this guy in there, and I think you really do. That offense becomes even that much more potent. Are you hearing anything as far as the Raiders and the trade deadline is concerned at all? I'm not talking about Allen Robinson, but do you think that they make a move to try to add to this football team at all?
I think they're definitely looking, and I think that if they were to, you know, make any kind of a move, it would be more along the offensive line. You know, they just had to release Willie Snead. He's not a great wide receiver, but he's a...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Welcome to the 117th dust-up between the snorting swine of Springfield A&M and the Springfield University Nittany Tide. Oh, doctor, break out the hickory switch.
I like that anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between. We haven't gotten to the World Series too much. They've been off, but they're back at it. It's going to be raining in Atlanta, I think, basically all weekend. I think maybe on Sunday it slows down. So it's going to be raining, something to keep your eye on. You know they're going to want to get the games in. But I understand they're playing. They think they're going to be able to play the games, but it will be raining. It's hard. It's weird, too, because I do think Houston are going to win the World Series. But I don't love it. I didn't bet it. Yeah, I bet this series to go six games, right, at plus 200. I bet Houston in both games, though, and we're 1-1. And I kind of like Houston again tomorrow, but it's one of these deals where it's like, well, it's like a disadvantage for them, right, going into it, Atlanta. It really is. Number one, the Atlanta Braves are really good at home in the playoffs. They haven't lost a playoff game at home, right? So it's been 10 straight or something. They've been really good at home. They're dominant at home in the playoffs. And Houston lose their designated hitter. Atlanta are used to that, right? Atlanta are used to, like, having their pitcher hit. Houston are not. Suddenly, like, this hurts Houston's lineup more than it hurts Atlanta's lineup. But with that being stated, I still kind of lean with the Houston Astros tomorrow. This series will be a long one. I bet it to go six at plus 200. I probably should have bet it to go seven as well, but that was only plus 202. I didn't want to, you know, throw it away. Could have guaranteed yourself a profit. Probably should have done it. Let's see now. Can we still do it? We still could. I was expecting runs and stuff, but if it's raining, like rain, we talk about this in football. Rain doesn't really change anything, right? It's wind that affects stuff. Baseball, it does, though. Like, if it's rainy and, like, bleak and it's not, you know what I mean? The ball doesn't travel in baseball. Like, it's just, it doesn't. I don't know. It won't be cold, at least. And that's one thing that we've seen here, actually, in these playoffs, where we sort of, you know, I guess it's got lucky from a weather perspective, right? Los Angeles, San Francisco, Houston playing the dome. Atlanta, weather really usually isn't a problem, but now it'll be raining. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you get the Yankees in the old days, man, it was cold, cold. Man, the ball, man, it hurt batters' hands when the ball hit the bat type of deal. So I want to see, all right, so World Series futures now. Let's see, I want to see, like, right, about six games and five games and stuff. Okay, it's 150 now. It's 150 right now. So it would still be a profit because it's both plus money. All right, so we've got it at six. So the series to go six games right now is plus 150. The series to go seven games is plus 150. The series to go five games is plus 270. I don't think anybody thinks that anybody's winning three straight times here, right? I don't. I think this sets up. I would like it, you know, I was hoping it would be like 180 or something like that. And I could, you know, I would pull the trigger. The plus 150, so the series correct score, Atlanta Braves to win in six is plus 400 right now. The Astros to win in seven is plus 320. The Astros to win in six is plus 350. Astros in five is 6-1. I need more than that. Come on, man. So they would have to sweep them in Atlanta, win three straight. That's not happening. So we got to ask ourselves, what's going to happen in Atlanta out of the two, out of the three? What's going to happen in the ATL with the two out of the three? We saw the Houston Astros won two of the three in Boston. All right, Boston took the first one, and then they had the bad call. And then the Astros put up seven runs, and then they won again the next day. They played an earlier start the next day, and Houston won again. So Houston took two of three at on the road. The Dodgers took two of three at home. Right? They won two of the three games at home. You sort of figure that, like, that's so, you know what I mean? It's going to be 2-1 in this three-game little mix here, but who goes 2-1? Is it Atlanta that goes 2-1, or is it Houston that goes 2-1. Of course, Charlie Morton is out right now. We'll break it down tomorrow in its entirety. I'm going to dig into the MVP right now a little bit more. You know, we don't have to wait much now, right? I mean, the series is going to be done soon. They're playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I assume that it'll be two and, you know, it'll go 2-1. And that means there's going to be a game six, and that would be on Tuesday. So I think the World Series, look, the World Series is coming to an end either Tuesday or Wednesday, right? Michael Brantley right now is plus 600. Jose Altuve is plus 700. Kyle Tucker is plus 950. Freddie Freeman is 11-1. Gurriel is 13-1. Soler is 13-1. Adam Duvall, 13. Alvarez, 15. Albies, 15. Rosario, 15. Austin Riley, 16. Carlos Correa is 25-1. Nobody has really, you know what I mean? Nobody has really stepped up yet and, like, said, yeah, that's that. There's your front runner right now for the MVP, right? This thing is still wide open right now. I think, listen, man, put it this way. I might even do this. I got a lot of thinking to do. I said thinking, not drinking. I've got a lot of thinking to do here overnight, and we'll prepare this for game time decisions tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern on SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid, TV networks, and all that stuff. So it's sort of like the Super Bowl, right? Like the Super Bowl MVP. And it's the quarterback, right? Like going back to the time we got Nick Foles at like plus 650. I was like, if the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, Nick Foles better play well. Because if he doesn't, they're not winning the Super Bowl. And he did play well, and they won the Super Bowl. So it was like I hit the Eagles on the money line, but it was better to hit the it was better to get that plus 650 and plus 600, whatever it was. I think it was plus 600, plus 550 to plus 650 range. It came down during the week with Nick Foles, but I'm a big believer in that. Now, we didn't do it, but you know, because I want to see how things play it out, but now we can. And where I'm going with this is, Freddie Freeman, if the Braves win, Freeman needs to play well, and he's a popular dude. So I'm going to sprinkle on Freeman. The odds are too good not to at 11-1. The odds are too good not to at 11-1, even if I don't think they're going to win the World Series. Like I said, I don't know who's going to win. I think Houston's going to win, but I didn't bet them. You know what I mean? I bet the series to go six games because I think I'm done betting against Atlanta. You know, I lost money betting against them with the Dodgers. I've learned my lesson. I don't want to. You know, I don't like messing with these guys, but here I am betting against them every night again. But I don't have a problem with that. And the other one is Rosario. You know, Rosario was the MVP of the League Championship Series, and we talked about how the last 30 times a hitter, and it wasn't a pitcher, the last 30 times it was a hitter who won the Championship Series MVP, their numbers regressed for the World Series, which you would expect. But they, you know what I mean? Like, if Rosario just has a big weekend right now, you got a nice number. And I think I got to take a shot. I'm going to sprinkle on a lot of these guys. Cam keeps going back to the well with Duvall here. Duvall is 13-1. I'm thinking Freddie Freeman 11-1. Jorge Soler at 13-1. And Eddie Rosario at 15. But I think Soler, I don't know, Soler, the media seems to like him. And he is damn good. You know, he hits a couple of home runs this weekend, and the Braves win the World Series. Soler's the MVP. So what I'm saying is, I think there's value on the Brave players here. Freddie Freeman, 11-1. Jorge Soler is 13-1. Eddie Rosario, 15-1. But the two to catch my eye are Freeman at 11-1 and Soler at 13. Good odds. Like, you know what I mean? Good odds. Like, because you ask yourself, like, all right, are they going to win unless these guys do have a big, like, you know what I mean? No. Like, unless Freddie Freeman has a big weekend, you know, if he has a bad weekend, the Braves probably lose. Same thing. Like, if Soler plays well, they're going to win. Like, Soler, like we saw him with the leadoff home run, he's a dangerous player. He can hit home runs. He can hit doubles and stuff like that as well. So, like, he can rack up some RBIs and some stats. 13-1. Interesting. I think that's a good way to approach it. The Astro players are difficult. I don't know. Because the media doesn't like them. And the media is the one that votes on this, right? So, like, even if they don't like Altuve. You know what I mean? They think Altuve was wearing a buzzer and stuff. Like, so I would go with Michael Brantley. I would go with Brantley. The media doesn't seem to blame Brantley. Like, they don't have a beef with Brantley. They don't like Altuve. They really don't like Carlos Correa. Like, those guys would have to put up big numbers to overcome the dislike that the media has for them, right? So, like, I mean, the media thinks they're cheaters. So, to me, like I said, the media guys are the ones that are voting on this. So, I'm actually, you know what? I've liked the World Series. I've watched it. Well, I was at a soccer game the other night, but even though I'm a Dodger fan, I haven't really been turned off by it. It's good baseball. I love baseball. It's good baseball. And it's gonna be a good weekend. It's gonna be another great weekend of sports, man. So we got the World Series, then the big Michigan State game is an early game, right? Noon Eastern time. Noon Eastern. NFL too is big. And as we talked about, if you're just joining us right now, Dak Prescott. So, we talked about this with Ted a little bit. I don't think he's playing. Dak Prescott, unsure if he'll play Sunday. I don't want this to linger past this week, he says. Like, you know what I mean? Normally, the player is like, oh, I'm playing. And like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm going to play. And, you know, the doctors don't want me to, but I'm going to play. And, you know what I mean? No. Like, Dak Prescott seems to be asking for the week off here. I don't want this to linger. Here's another quote. Not fully my decision, says Dak Prescott. Coach Mike McCarthy says Prescott has to clear certain thresholds in practice to be able to play. The quarterback said Dak says he's not even sure what those are. They didn't tell me which ones I've got to pass. Obviously, I trust myself. I trust my body. Trust what I'm thinking. But I also trust the coaches and Britt and Jim and the whole coaching and training staff. We put a lot into this. I put a lot into my body and taking care of myself. But they know. They know how these things work. First time dealing with something like this, obviously on the same leg as my ankle. I want to be smart and cautious. But as I've said, I've gotten better each day, and I'm doing things today I didn't do as well the day before. I think that's huge. Vikings are up to -2.5 right now. Man, this is going to be a fun football game. Sunday Night Football, Cowboys, Vikings. A lot funner for the Vikings if Dak Prescott doesn't play. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a hobby.
Listen from the ashes. Take what you got.
I didn't know there was a new Ghostbusters movie coming out. Ghostbusters Afterlife. I'm a fan of the Ghostbusters. That's one movie, like, you know, there's certain movies that you can just watch all the time. That, you know, you're like, well, Ghostbusters, this movie's on TV. There's a few movies like that, like the movie The Fugitive. I've seen The Fugitive like 100 times. I can watch the movie The Fugitive over and over. The Rock over and over. You know, with Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery. I've seen that movie like 55 times and don't really get tired of it.
That's a badass movie, Gabe. I respect. I like The Rock.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of movies where like, hey, listen, man, like Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's another great one.
Yeah, but I don't watch it 25 times. I'm like, nah, I've seen it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's on Netflix now. I'm like, I've seen it. I don't need to see Goodfellas, right? But like, yeah, The Rock is just one of those. You put it on the background, like, you know what I mean? I like those type of movies that you've seen.
It's a comfort movie.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't, you already know everything, so you don't have to pay attention. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can just handicap games on my computer and have it on. You know what I mean? And I know the lines that are coming up next.
It makes you smile.
I know they, but, yeah, Ghostbusters is a movie like that. Like, whatever Ghostbusters on, I'm like, all right, cool, cool. I'll just watch Ghostbusters. I'll just put on Ghostbusters.
Hey, Gabe, I think they did a good job getting the main actor for that movie. They got Paul Rudd. I love that guy. He's funny as hell.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I don't know, like the different cast, right? Yeah, I don't know what the, I got to see what the theme is of this, because normally it's a crew and all that, but whatever. I trust them. The one with the girls, though, the women one, people criticized and stuff. It was all right. It was all right. It's a good franchise. It's a good franchise. So, as I said, I didn't realize there was a new Ghostbusters movie coming up. All right, so tune in tomorrow. Yeah, Casino. I've seen Casino a million times, too. I've seen a Heath Ledger Dark Knight one. Like, I've seen that like 100 times. Rambo's another one. I could watch the movie First Blood Rambo, the first one. Like, I love that. Maybe I'm going to watch that tonight again. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.